Hello and welcome to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. My name is Patrick Rice, and I'm joined on the radio, in the studio, on the airwaves with my brother in Christ, Dan Demite.
What is up, Patrick?
I'm so...
So we're on the air, we're on the airwaves, we're in the studio,
the Holy Spirit is already here, and we haven't even prayed yet,
I know,
Dan.
This is nuts.
This is going to be a good show, everybody. So I don't care if you just tuned in right now, the next hour, you're with us.
It's going to be power. Power
Dan,
hour.
I know.
On
from heaven to
radio.
Earth. In power, power.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
So, Dan, we have on the show, in the studio with us, Jack McClintock. Jack he's one of the coordinators of One Night Columbus. And I believe that God is using him, this ministry, to do something that I think Catholics didn't even think was possible. I didn't even know if they know it was legal, but it is happening, okay? So, Dan, can you lead us in prayer?
Yes.
Help me,
Holy
Jesus.
Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Right now, Lord, I pray that all of our listeners would be filled with an overwhelming joy. I pray that you would bring laughter to their hearts, that you would bring joy in their minds, that whatever anxiety, depression, sadness they have in their lives, that you would wipe that away in the name of Jesus. We pray for the spirit of joy to descend upon them, the spirit of peace to descend upon them. Lord, we pray that you would work in a way you've never worked in our listeners' lives. We pray that you would give their minds new revelations, that they would know you in new ways. They would experience your word and more power in their lives. Come, Holy Spirit. I pray that you would bless all of the family members of our listeners, that their children and their children's children would be blessed and anointed right now, that your spirit would rest not upon individuals, but upon households, that you would transform households, that you would transform cities. Come, Holy Spirit.
Father, I thank you that on the day of Pentecost, you poured out your Holy Spirit upon them. The new wine was poured into new wineskins, that they were so filled with the manifest presence of your Holy Spirit that people thought they were drunk. But we know that it's only 9 o'clock in the morning, and we're filled with something greater than what the earth can provide. So, Holy Spirit, do it again. I pray that you would pour out your new wine, that you would break apart old wineskins, and let us be receptive to what you're doing, that it would break forth from our mindsets, Lord, that it would break forth from what we thought was possible, and that you do it in the whole church, Lord, because we know that you desire that we would all be one, so that the world will know that we represent you, Jesus Christ. And we pray this all in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's so
power,
good.
Power, power.
Oh my gosh.
Power hour. That's what we've promised you, people.
It's a power hour. And for me, when I make the sign of the cross, there's a special meaning that I got. Because we pray in the name of the Father, and we point to our head, and then the Son, and we go down to our belly.
Yep.
And then we pray, Holy Spirit. And for me, Dan, it's like this, okay? I say it's like this. From heaven to earth comes power and love. Because that's what the Father did. He sent the Father from heaven to
the
earth.
The Son.
Father sent the Son from heaven to earth to move in power and love on the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Each side. That should be the two dynamics of the Christian life. Power and love. We can't just be love without power.
Exactly.
And we can't just be power without love.
No. I
Isn't
love
that
it.
Sweet.
Yeah. Amen to that. Let's
talk
bring power
to me,
and love.
Talk to me about Jesus' desire for unity, Dan. Can you teach
man.
Me?
Yeah. Well, the brothers and sisters, if you have ever read the Vatican II documents, there's one document that's a shorter document, and so sometimes it gets lost, right? And it's this decree on ecumenism. And it was such a powerful aspect of the council. This is the very first sentence in the Vatican Council's decree on ecumenism. It says, "The restoration of unity among all Christians is one of the principal concerns of the Second Vatican Council."
Time out. Did you just say that the restoration of unity is a principal concern for the church?
Yes, it's a principal. This is the Vatican, when the fathers of the council got together in the 1960s, they desired the church not to go inward and become a silo by itself, but they desired that the church would be one, right?
Whoa.
They wanted unity.
But Dan, there's all these schisms and denominations out there. Like, are you saying that's offensive to Jesus?
Well, I'm not actually saying it. It's the church is saying it. It says the council says, certainly such division openly contradicts the will of Christ, and it scandalizes the world and damages the sacred cause of preaching the gospel to every creature.
Oh my gosh. Everything that I've been thinking about, like, Christianity is getting turned upside down its head.
Exactly.
So I should be offended. I should be like, ah, about the fact that there's division in the body of Christ. Is that right?
Yeah, one time I was praying about...
Help me, Jesus.
I was praying with other Christians, and I was asking the Lord for unity. And as we were praying in front of a crucifix, which was awesome because these Christian, our Christian brothers and sisters decide to come with us as Catholics into worship, and they were praying in front of a crucifix, which isn't a common sign in Christian denominations. And as we were praying in front of the Eucharist, the crucifix, I got this word that we are the body of Christ, but we're the crucified body of Christ right now, mm-hmm. right? We're not the glorified, resurrected body of Christ. We're a body of Christ that has been marred and disfigured, has been ripped into shreds. You think about Jesus after the scourging of the pillar. The scourging ripped his body into shreds. And that's what the Reformation did. It didn't reform, it destroyed. And so we've been ripped into shreds. The body of Christ is wounded and broken right now. And the will of the Father is that the body of Christ would resurrect. The body of Christ would be glorified. That the body of Christ would be healed and unified as one body. And so the church in Vatican II is saying, we are declaring that that's our desire as the Catholic Church. So we want to bring unity. We want to bring restoration. We want to bring healing where there has been division.
Dan, the words that this is grounded in, I know, is from John chapter 17. Listeners, if you read the Bible, okay, there's some Bibles that have the words of Jesus are in red letters, okay? There's only a few places where, like, the entire chapters are pretty much red letters. It's the Sermon on the Mount, you know, Matthew 5 through 7, and then John 17. The entire chapter of John 17 is Jesus' final prayer before he dies. So I think that if we're going to...
That's a pretty important prayer, right?
Yeah,
it's like
life
death,
of Christ.
His deathbed prayer.
I think when we look back through amazing lives of people, like, there's always significance to, like, what happened on their deathbed.
Yep.
And in the same way, the same significance that we have at people's final hours, we need to have the same significance for the life of Christ. And he prayed for... He spent the entire time just praying to the Father and making this prayer. And a lot of it, he prays for his 12 disciples, okay, mm-hmm. that they will be strengthened in the Lord. And then he says this in verse 20. I'm going to read this to you and unpack it as I read. So get ready. Jesus says, I pray not only for them, the 12 apostles he had, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So what is he praying for? He's praying not just for the 12, but everyone that's going to come to faith through them. And guys, guess what? That's us.
That's us.
We believe in Jesus because of the ministry of the apostles. So he's praying for us, and he prays this. I pray not only for them, but for those who believe me through the word, that they may be one. Whoa! As you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Whoa. So Jesus' prayer is like, I pray for everyone that will come to believe in me through them, that they might be one, perfectly one. Wow. Just what kind of level of oneness? Oh, as one as you and I are, Father. Not just like, oh,
intense.
We play cards on Saturday. No. It's a one, like a perfect unity. That's what the body of Christ is supposed to look like.
Yeah.
One body, one being, one bride. In fact, the church teaches, Dan, okay, that when you get baptized into one church.
Yep.
There's not multiple brides out there.
Well, when we say we believe in one holy Catholic apostolic church, we're not saying we believe in our country club and that our country club
is
one.
Yeah, I believe in my denomination.
Exactly. We believe as Catholics in one holy Catholic, universal, apostolic church. That is,
so ultimately, here's the deal, okay? It's one holy Catholic apostolic church. So when I'm baptized into the one holy Catholic apostolic church. When Jack, who we're going to have on the show, Jack, you were baptized? Yes. When Jack was baptized, he was baptized into one holy Catholic and apostolic church. No matter what, like where we're worshiping, the fact that we're baptized puts us in one body.
Amen.
And we need to change our mind about the way we see other Christians that are not in our body. This is a challenge, and the church is saying, we got to get on board, okay? So this is Jesus' desire here expressed in John 17. Now, the church gives us actual direction, Dan, of what we're supposed to do to work toward that, because it's basically a promise. I believe, Dan, that Jesus' prayer at some point is going to be answered by the Father.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm just going on a limb here, but I think that
I
if
think
Jesus makes a prayer to the Father,
his son's prayers,
that he's
going
to answer it. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'm believing in that. I'm believing with Jesus for the restoration of the body of Christ and this perfect unity to happen, that Jesus is not going to come back for a broken bride. He's going to come back for a beautiful bride, like Revelation talks about.
Well, even if you look at the popes, right? Like, what have they... Pope John Paul II did such a great job bringing unity with the Jewish people. And then Benedict did such a great job with the Eastern Orthodox churches.
And now Pope Francis is doing it with
kicking butt with the Protestants. Like,
yeah.
He's all about unity with the Protestants.
In fact, it's easier to get a meeting with the Pope being a Protestant leader than it is being a cardinal these days. He's meeting with so many of them.
Yeah,
it's pretty.
He hungers for unity.
And so, Dan, this document, Unitatis Regeneratio, it talks about specific things that we should be doing as Catholics to work toward this. Can you talk about some?
Yeah, just real quick to go back to that idea of Catholic, right? This I want to the document, a decree on ecumenism. And ecumenism, if you haven't heard that word before, it basically just means coming together with other faith denominations, right? The church is decreeing that we should come together in dialogue and prayer with other Christian denominations. It says the divisions among Christian the divisions among Christians prevent the church from realizing the fullness of Catholicity proper to her. So we want to wipe away those divisions so that we can actually be Catholic, so we can be universal, right? And so they say in certain circumstances, such as prayer services for unity during the ecumenical gatherings, it is allowable and indeed desirable that Catholics should join in prayer with members of other Christian churches and communities.
Wow. I wish something like that happened.
Yeah,
in
like wouldn't
city.
It be awesome if we had times where Christians, Catholics, and other Christians came together in our city to pray for Christian unity, and we prayed we have one faith, right? Because we have one Savior.
Yeah, I wish there were one night where we could come together and do this, don't you?
All right,
this is a perfect segue.
We're doing an awkward job segue.
I'm baiting you. All right, so we are so blessed to be joined in the studio with Mr. Jack McClintock. He's one of the coordinators of One Night Columbus. It's basically, so Jack is Protestant. He's not Catholic, but he's doing exactly what the church has called us to do. So I praise God, and I just bless everything you're doing. Jack, welcome to Encounter Radio.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, it's so
are you
good
ready?
To be here, Jack.
Absolutely.
Oh man.
I'm pumped up. That
yeah.
was a good,
yeah.
That was
yeah,
a good
Jack's
introduction.
Getting ready.
Get
getting ready.
Yeah. I was learning. I'm like writing down notes. I'm like, yes, Lord.
Yes.
And this is the council's telling us we need dialogue, right? That's the best way. We want to learn from each other. So
right.
So we've been learning from Jack, right?
Yeah.
And Jack's learning from us. That's the beauty of Christians coming
together.
I'm
like, Jack, you're more Catholic than me, man. You're doing it. You're doers of the word. So, Jack, can you tell us your story? I want you to share with our listeners. How did you come to know Jesus? How did he become the Lord of your life?
Sure. So I grew up in a Protestant community, actually a Lutheran community in Columbus. And to me, church was kind of about community. It was about what I did. You know, you go on Sundays, you get involved in the different ministries. And so I kind of grew up in that and knowing that. And so I accepted Jesus as my Savior from a pretty young age. I would say as far back as third grade, I think is around when that happened. I was baptized in third grade. So that's like the first, I guess, like real substantial part of my faith was very young. However, growing up and everything, you know, it's kind of one of those things, especially growing up in the church, sometimes I think there's a tendency for there to become a lot of knowledge of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I was, you know, in the whole Sunday school thing and serving in different ministries. But it really didn't move from my head to my heart, actually until after I had graduated high school. There was a time in my life where I was facing some difficulty and uncertainty right after graduating. Actually, it was right after graduating from college. And in that time, I was seeking. It was a time mm-hmm. of seeking and mm-hmm. searching. And, you know, as scripture says, seek and the door will be opened. I mean, it in that time, God just blew my mind. And totally took my faith into an ownership level.
Amen. An ownership level.
Wow.
Yeah, I love that. I hope all of our listeners have an ownership level of commitment.
He's not
to
running
Jesus
the
Christ.
House anymore. He owns the temple. Yeah. Whoa.
He's not a visitor. He's not a guest. He is the owner of this household. Amen.
Keep going, Jack.
So yeah. So
what happened next?
So that time of ownership, I guess, really led to, okay, Lord, like where are you leading me? Where are you leading me? And it was more than that, actually. It was in that time that I started to realize the difference between saying, all right, God, I'm going to do this. Will you be involved? And it went from that to, Lord, where are you moving and how can I be involved?
So really quick, you were like, okay.
Yes.
All right, it started like, okay, God, bless what I'm doing.
Pretty much.
And that's like an immature, I think, sense of faith and ministry that if you're out there and that's your attitude, you can just repent of that right now. Lord, I'm sorry for asking you to bless what I'm doing. And now you're saying, God, I want to bless what you're doing.
Yep.
I want to see where you are. That's such wisdom that I don't see in a lot of young adults.
Yep. It's
all right?
Powerful.
Thank you, Jesus, for blessing him with
yes.
that. Keep
Thank
going.
You, Lord. So, and one of the powerful things in that too that I would say is there's verse Psalm 139 that's the search me, O Lord, know my heart, test me, know my anxieties, see if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting.
Mm.
And I remember specifically there, that was really the point that kind of ownership happened in my life. I prayed that and I meant it.
Mm.
And God said, all right, hold on.
Yeah. was,
and so the next, over the next several years, since that time, I've just been in a whirlwind, of taking kind of one step at a time. And God has just blessed me and given me some really amazing opportunities to be involved with what he's doing.
Wow. Mm. Can you share, like, are there kind of a few stories that kind of highlight these movements in your life?
Well, I mean, one night obviously is one of the largest, I think, and that's been happening now in my life for the last 2.5 years or so.
How did that happen? Like, so tell us a story. So I know that right now you've done this 2 years of gathering Christians from all over the city to come together and pray in common. How did it start? How did the vision happen?
Yeah. So, you know, thinking about it, it was January of 2015. So technically it was just 2 years ago from this time. I was at a place of real uncertainty. I didn't really know what was coming next. I had actually just gotten married, like 4 months before that.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I was in a place with my business that I just didn't know what was next. And so in that season, I came into contact with a friend of mine who attended a different church, and he was at a very opposite place. He was just totally on fire. He felt like God had just given him some real clarity for vision of the next steps he needed to take, and he was just totally excited about that and passionate about that. And I was just kind of asking him, you know, how that had come about in his life and just trying to soak some of it up almost
yeah.
from him. And he had explained to me that he had just come back from a conference in Georgia. And this conference in Georgia had just really gripped him, specifically because of the times of worship. And the times of worship, it wasn't just that in those times of worship, he really felt that, like, you know, that time of connecting with God, but it was a specific thing. And he said that it was the fact that he was gathered with so many different people who were believing in Christ at the same time and worshiping together in the same place from all over the nation.
Amen. What's heaven?
Oh, wow.
What's heaven? I mean, right. Heaven is the people of God worshiping the Father for all of eternity, right?
Like, come on,
and
Dan.
So when we're
Keep
together
going.
And we're worshiping, it's an expression of heaven.
Yeah, and so he, exactly, and he had, I mean, he was just clearly made alive by that. And so it honestly, in that moment, the Spirit just kind of revealed this vision and said, why do we not have that in Columbus? Why is there not an all-city gathering, an all-city worship and prayer? Why do we not have that more often? And it was just a dialogue between the two of us. Of course, I realize now it was much more than that.
And it's so deeper because, I mean, in Revelation 21, you know, John sees the bride of Christ coming as a city prepared for God, as a new Jerusalem coming down to earth. And ultimately, the bride of Christ is expressed as a city completely in union under the lordship of Jesus. Like, I, it's like as you're talking and as your story is coming together, like all these elements of scripture are coming together. Jack, we have to take a break right now for the radio. Listeners, stay tuned. We're going to hear about the next step of this journey and this amazing ministry. You're listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. And when we come back from the break, we're going to be joined again with Jack in the studio. Please stay tuned.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them to lives of extraordinary mission. We have on the show with us Jack McClintock, one of the coordinators of One Night Columbus. Jack, you're taking us through a play-by-play of how One Night Columbus started. So yeah, last time, before the break, you talked about your friend who talked about this conference. I believe it was the Passion Conference in Atlanta, and the joy and the power of being together with other Christians from all over the country, from different denominations. Keep going, man. What happened?
Yeah, so that conversation, I guess, that was the beginning where, you know, the Spirit just really revealed this vision and said, hey, like, there needs to be more of that, and it needs to be in our city. And so I kind of started to really pray into that, and it just was within probably 5 days of praying into that and having some conversations with some of my mentors and people who I really respected and respect their wisdom and perspective of life. And it was just amazingly clear that this was something that needed to happen. And the form of it was an all-city worship night. And even in that first week, there was a conversation that I had actually with a local worship leader. And in that conversation, he's like, that's crazy. He said, a year ago, I was praying and God had given me a similar vision. And he like pulls up his iPad and pulls out this note, and it's titled One Night.
Wow.
No way.
So that's where the name
came
from.
Come Lord Jesus. Wow. That's
so
wild.
So God, I mean, and so many times it's like, God confirms things. He wants to confirm with two or three witnesses, right?
Yeah.
And so you got a word, and then you got a confirmation right there. That must have been encouraging.
Yeah.
So you got that encouragement. What happened next?
So, I mean, I didn't really know what to do next, honestly. And so the prayer truly was, Lord, what's the next step? And I felt like the answer was fairly simple. He said, you need to just find as many people, the kind of the people of peace who understand this vision, and have a meeting. And so we did. We just kind of put out the word and said, hey, we're going to meet at this time on this day. Please come. We're going to pray and we're going to talk some more and see where we feel like God may be leading this. And so we did, and that happened probably a couple weeks after that. So this was now like mid to late January, I think, is when that happened. And at that meeting, it was just, again, every step of the way was just clarity and confirmation. It was like we've seen this. And I started, I mean, I at this point too, you have to realize I was not at all in a mindset of understanding John 17. Mm-hmm. I wasn't in a mindset of understanding Ephesians 4. I mean, it's just
Vatican II document.
Yes, exactly.
You haven't read all the Vatican II documents?
No,
I haven't. Oh, man.
So I am just like learning so much that the Spirit is just like revealing to me left and right, and I'm just totally saturated in that and loving it. But it was at that meeting though that we decided, all right, well, let's have an all city worship night. Where are we going to meet? Where would something like this happen? And I pushed a little bit on a vision of it needing to be in a neutral space. Mm-hmm. And so we started to just do some research and find where the kind of capacity, you know, larger event capacity spaces were in Columbus.
Wow. Okay. So, yeah, what happened next?
Good question, Patrick.
Yeah, I'm like, so, well, I don't know what to say.
Well, no, I'm interested. I mean, how many, like what kind of capacity? Like, because a lot of times what happens is we dream small, so God delivers small, right? So you dreamed big, right? You weren't like, hey, let's get a church hall with 1,000 people, right? You wanted capacity.
Yeah.
What was your dream?
So I really didn't know what to do. At that particular time, beyond what I could ask or imagine was like a space that would hold 2,000 or 3,000. Mm-hmm. Like that was like, I was like, man, 2,000
yeah.
seating capacity. That sounds insane. You know, like at this point we're a table with maybe 8 people from like 6 different churches or something like that. So it's like, that just seemed absolutely crazy to me, but I knew that that's kind of what we needed to do. And so we all agreed. We all said, yeah, that feels right. So we ended up renting we put down on the books for June of that same year, 2015, a rental for a space over at Easton that had a capacity of 2,000.
Wow.
And okay. What happened?
Well, we...
How'd you get the word out? How'd you connect with other leaders and stuff? Tell us about that.
Well, that truly is a miracle in itself, because that first year was just a whirlwind of not knowing what we were doing. I mean, very few people on our team had organized any sort of event. This was worship pastors, worship leaders that largely were, you know, coming together to try to organize this thing. So, like, the idea of having so many different cooks in the kitchen, I guess, if you will, the whole thing was just crazy. And so we planned it for June. And so that only gave us like 3 months to get things together. And we knew that we wanted the entire worship team to be a composition of different worship leaders from different churches. Mm-hmm. So that first year, we ended up pulling together 16 different people from 11 different churches.
Wow.
To either lead an instrument or lead a song vocally.
Wow.
And so they kind of started to say, all right, well, I guess we got to put together, you know, what we're going to sing that night and pray. And so we're all just like pulling this together and God's leading the whole thing. But honestly, we hadn't really even focused a lot on how to get the word out. I mean, it was just kind of, we just need to make it happen, like,
yep.
Let alone
just get the worship together.
Right. And so basically the best thing that we knew how to do was to try to engage the pastors of these worship leaders and engage those churches and then social media. We put together a Facebook page and
it's interesting to think about just actually how divided we are as a church. Like, even the challenges of getting multiple churches to worship in one style is difficult, right?
Yep,
like, I
yeah,
wouldn't even think about that. Like, you think even the different masses at a church, like, there's different worship groups, and they almost don't bond with each other because they're like, this is our style of music, this is our style of music. But it's like,
right.
No, we're one church, and we have one Savior. We worship one God, and
yep.
Like, it's we have to have one worship. It's crazy, yeah.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, just... I wouldn't even think about something as simple as that being a challenge.
And to that point, that first year, we had a lot of pushback. There were pastors that we met with who said, it's not going to happen. You need more time. At this point, we're 2 months away. And they said, yes, like, we believe this is probably important, but nobody's going to show up.
Yeah.
Wow.
So who shows up?
Well, so the night of, we figured maybe 750, again, 16 different leaders from 11 different churches. So we knew there was going to be at least 11 different churches represented that night.
Mm-hmm.
And we were excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
And God totally blew our mind, and
he
filled the place to capacity. We had,
amen.
We had 2,000 people
amen.
Show up.
Wow.
Amen. First in
yes.
3 months, in 3 months.
So that was 2015.
Yep.
Okay. So this happens. You're super encouraged. What happens next?
Yeah, so, and another miracle I think that's really worth mentioning too in that first year is we did do an online optional registration, and this online registration was just totally for us to be able to try to get some idea of how many people were going to be there and how many churches were going to be represented. And so after One Night Happening, we went through and we calculated all of those registrations. There was just over 350 people out of 2,000 people who showed up, 350 people who registered. And that 350 people who registered represented 101 churches.
Whoa.
Whoa. That is more than 11.
That is a lot more. And out of 350 people who decided and were led to do that optional registration, 101 churches.
So hundreds of churches must have been represented.
I mean, I couldn't tell you. All I know is that God has a sense of humor in saying it's going to be 101, so you could say it was over 100.
Yeah.
Because yeah. that's what it was. So that's all we knew.
That's
but
more
yeah,
than
so
100.
I,
yeah.
I was amazed. It was just what an opportunity to see God do something so incredible and extreme in such a like a apparent way.
What did what do you feel like the Spirit was doing in that room in that night?
Oh man, it was kind of like you were mentioning, it was heaven. I mean, it felt like there were walls being broken down, and we were all in agreement. You know, scriptures say there is great power when we come together in agreement.
Now, we kind of talked earlier about the fact that you're Protestant, we're Catholic, but I know within the Protestant world, are there a lot of walls within that? Can you talk about that and like God did?
Yeah, there absolutely are. I mean, I think for a long time, there's been a lot of different sticking points, right? When it comes to the details about how we live out our faith.
Yeah.
And a lot of those details have unfortunately created a lot of division. And a lot of that division has been out of a place of what I would describe as thinking that we need to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
And on some level, I think I would agree with that. But part of what our mission with One Night is to say we're actually not saying that we are one denominational. We're saying we're multi-denominational, that just as the body of Christ is represented in Scripture as having many parts to it, we all represent different parts. Now, you know, the way that the details about how we live out our faith, I think, are certainly worth discussion. And I think that they're certainly worth a level of personal conviction. But for them to become divisive or to prevent us from being in community with each other, for getting to know each other, for allowing that to be first, I think can be a problem.
Well, you just look at the modern world, right? Literally today, 125,000 children will die in the womb through abortion because the Christian church is not united in one voice to overcome this, right? So we are allowing millions and millions of children to suffer and die in the womb year after year because we as a church are not responding with one voice, right? So there's this need to unite ourselves and to say, as the world becomes more post-Christian, as the world becomes less Christian in its ethos and in its culture, we need to unite ourselves so that we're responding to the brokenness in the world with one voice.
This is like unless we do it, like, this is almost like things are going to get really bad.
Yeah,
like war's going to break out unless we come together.
Sure. So, Jack, you and I may not agree on every Marian doctrine of the church, right? But we agree that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior. And we agree that Jesus Christ is the only thing that will save our broken civilization. So let's get in agreement on that. We agree that life is important.
I think that's enough to come together on
That's important. Right. So let's do it, right? And that's, I mean, it's powerful.
And you know, like that verse from John 17, 20, in 21, like Jesus says, he prays that we will all be one, but there's a why question. Why? And the reason is this, that the world may believe that you sent me.
Right.
That unless we do this, the world's not going to believe. Unless we do this, we're not going to conquer abortion. Unless
we're
do this. Like, I think there's maybe the problem with Islamic extremism and stuff is the fact that the Christians are united and we can't witness to them effectively.
The single greatest cause of atheism in our world today is Christians, right? Because we say we are one body and we are a body of love, but we don't live it and we don't express it. If the visible body of the church represented what Jesus called us to represent, we would evangelize the world.
Amen. And I think that, well, Jack, you're talking about this like walls being broken down. You know, you're talking about music being such a part of this. One thing I love about music is that when you sing, you can't be in disagreement with, you know, the person you're singing next to, right? You're like, you're declaring these things and you're in agreement. You can't debate and argue when you're singing.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I think about the walls of Jericho, right? That the army of Israel was asked to unite with one voice to break down the walls of Jericho. And when the army of Israel marched around the city of Jericho and united in one voice in victory, in a victorious triumph, the walls shattered. And in our city, what if in our cities we united in one voice, we marched around the city and we claimed the victory of Jesus' resurrection on that city? The walls would shatter.
I don't think demons could handle that kind of praise.
Demons
they'd have to fly away and go to hell.
Power.
What do you think, Jack?
Yeah, I mean, I think that no matter what, it is undeniable that that when we come together in our visible invisible expressions of unity, amazing things happen.
Yeah,
amen. Praise the Lord. So then, okay, so
amazing.
You had this night; it was a big success. What happened the next year? What happened in the interim?
So we immediately we started to again enter a time of prayer and discernment and trying to figure out, okay, Lord, what's next? What's the next step? And first of all, we knew that we wanted to do it again. There needed to be another one night. And at that time, we kind of discerned that that was probably going to be about a year later. So we started working toward that time. And one of the things that was really important that we also realized is not just the importance of the gathering, right? The actual one night, but the importance of the movement and the the collaboration that happens in the 364 other days.
Yeah.
And so we started to be super intentional about reaching out to other local pastors, trying to get people engaged and trying to just create opportunity, ongoing opportunity for connection.
Mm-hmm.
And so that that really became a large focus into the next year. And then last year in 2016, we had our second one night, the actual night where we did the worship and prayer together. And we did it at the Ohio State Fairgrounds at the Ohio Expo Celeste Center, which is where they do the Ohio State Fair concerts and everything. And 4,000 people from over 250 churches ended up attending.
That's more than 101. That's so awesome. And then, we don't have tons of time left, but you guys reached out to, we got connected, okay, and then God did some amazing stuff. I want to hear from your perspective. How did this happen? Why Catholics? You know, how did that, right. Where did that come from?
Well, actually, so very early, I mean, this is like January, February 2015, while I was pressed, I remember vividly one day praying in the car and I was driving and I looked ahead of me at the car in front, and sure enough, this car in front of me had an 8:20 a.m. Catholic radio bumper sticker.
Yeah. Taking the presents.
Yeah.
But I remember in that time, I remember just this, like, this feeling. I was like, the Catholics, Lord? Like, you want Catholics to be in one night, too?
Uh-oh.
And now, again, grew up Lutheran, Protestant mindset. I frankly don't know a lot about the Catholic Church. And so in my mind, it's always kind of been this like other thing, right? But I felt really clearly like God was like, you have no idea. Like, he's like you just wait. Like, you just wait. And I was like, all right, Lord, like, hey, am I supposed to contact them? Like, what? And I didn't feel any clarity on the next step. So I just kind of kept walking into it. And then earlier this year, which was, you know, really just a couple weeks ago, a teacher of mine in high school, a high school teacher of mine, made a connection to you, Patrick. And he's like, yeah, you need to meet my friend Patrick. And so I said, all right, I don't know what this is going to be all about. And we did. We met at a local coffee shop. And I was just amazed. I mean, I was dumbfounded. It was just a moment of where you had, and now this teacher is now, he's actually a pastor. He stepped into ministry and he's a lead pastor of a local Protestant community. And then you were there and my wife was there and I was there. And it was just awesome to see all of us at this table having conversation. We were all in agreement. It was,
yep.
I mean, that's what it was. It was a time of a really kind of perspective opening again.
Your mind was blown. I'm like, oh my gosh, you're so Catholic. I love you. Like, you're doing the Vatican too. And then I remember we prayed, yeah, and the Spirit of Jesus hit us,
yeah,
in that place. And I just felt like a bomb went off. And we were having like visions of this together. And like, yeah, the Lord was confirming, listeners, the Lord was confirming in the power of prayer what he wanted to do. And then after that, it was like, oh my gosh, we talked about, like, I'm like, are you guys open to having a priest come lead prayer? And you're like, absolutely, you know? And like, without even question, there is just so much goodwill. And so, listeners, on March 10th, this is the next one night, Father David Sizemore has been, it will be leading part of the prayer for one night, the pastor of, our pastor of St. John Newman up in Sunbury, dynamic mover and shaker in our church here. And then our Encounter ministry team is going to be helping out with the ministry team for the night as well. So, Jack, can you can we share the story about Joshua?
Sure.
Actually, we have 1 minute left before the break. We'll come back to that. But what's a general breakdown of the night? What does it look like? You have 30 seconds.
Sure. So the night essentially follows the gospel. I mean, it's as simple as that. We start in adoration and praise. And then the second set is all about repentance and recognition of our brokenness. The third set is celebrating our victory and our unity that exists in Jesus Christ. And then the fourth set is the mission and the commission forward. And between each of those sets, we have times of prayer, both with people who are there, like in small group prayer, and then with pastors leading. And one of those times is Father Sizemore.
And there's worship, just time to worship in between, lots of music,
yep,
and praise.
Yeah,
awesome.
So each of those sets are worship sets.
Okay, so you're listening to Encounter, production of St. Gabriel Radio. And we come back on the flip side, we're going to hear more about one night and what we can do to plug in and make us one in Jesus. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. We have back in the show with us Jack McClintock. Jack, you've had an extraordinary encounter. You and I have been a part of it, planning One Night Columbus happening March 10th, 2017 at the Ohio Expo Center. Doors open at 6. It starts at 7. I want to share with the story, our listeners, the story of the amazing miracle that happened that God spoke to us. So before the break, we talked about our first meeting where your former teacher connected you and I together to get Catholics on board. How you had seen these 8:20 a.m. bumper stickers and you heard the Lord saying, I want Catholics there. So you meet with me, this Catholic guy. We get really encouraged. We're all on it. I'm like, this dude's so Catholic. I love it. And then we meet up again with the coordinators of the event. It was you, your wife, Ursula Brush, and then Joshua Miller, one of the lead worship leaders for the night. And then Aaron Richards and I, who are the coordinators for Encounter Ministries. So I remember, here's what happened from my perspective. We're talking, we're sharing our testimonies, we're getting really encouraged. And then I hear the Lord tell me in my heart that, like, Joshua, this worship leader, has like left knee pain. And like, I'm thinking like, Lord, what do you want? He's like, yeah, you know, I want to heal it. So I just stopped and I said, you know, Joshua, do you have pain in your body? He's like, yes. You know? And I'm like, is it your left knee? And he's like, yes. And so I offer him like, hey, I know it might be weird, but I think God wants to heal your left knee right now. Can we pray for you? And so at that point, you know, we talked a little bit more and then we went into prayer. And I just went over and Joshua started sharing with me that he had this injury that didn't heal properly. And, you know, there's pain. His knee will go out at different points. And it's just been a big hindrance. And so I prayed and I just prayed for like maybe 30 seconds. And then as I prayed, Joshua told me that he felt like there was something. He felt like there was spinning happening in his knee. It was an amazing confirmation that God was doing something right there to heal his body. And then I had him check it out, and he started like doing squats, and the pain was like way down, but then he started to feel it again. I prayed again, no, nothing happened. I prayed again, still no breakthrough. The pain was still there. I'm like, what's going on? And then at that moment, you're like, Jack, you've never prayed for healing before like that, have you?
I have not.
No. Yeah, and then, but you felt convicted by the Holy Spirit. What was going on in your spirit?
I mean, I'm just over observing, soaking in everything that's happening. I'm like, what, Lord, what are you doing right now? Kind of having this conversation. And I just felt, I mean, it was just clear. The Spirit was like, I want you to pray for him. And I kind of ignored it for a few minutes. And I said,
you made me look like a fool for a few minutes. Nothing was happening. Initial breakthrough.
I repented. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So then you jump in.
Yeah, so I mean, I felt it to a point. I was like, all right, I got to listen. And so I said, you know, I feel like God may be telling me that I need to pray for Joshua.
So then Jack comes over, and he just like, it's so clear. I mean, I pray for the sick a lot. It's been awesome. But you have never done this before. But you boldly went up in faith, and you laid your hands on his knee. You know, like Jesus said, these signs will accompany those who believe. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And I see this guy going down for, you know, and just laying his hands and praying. And as he finishes praying, and I look over, and Joshua, there's like tears in his eyes. And he's just like, man, I feel so loved. And then you got up, and then we asked Joshua to test it out. And he started doing the squats. And he goes down and he starts doing squats, and then he looks at us with this like intense look of surprise, and he's like, oh my gosh, the pain is completely gone. I swear, this is amazing. And then we just started like embracing and like high-fiving one another. And at that moment again, as the Lord had told me that there is this knee pain, I heard the Lord tell me again in my heart, just like I healed Joshua's knee, and I want to heal the body of Christ in your city. that it's not enough for one person, like one people group, Catholics to do it or Protestants to do it. Both groups have to come together to release a grace that's going to bring a unity and a restoration that I desire for the body of my son. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. So, listeners, I believe that I know most of y'all are Catholics out there. Catholics, we need to come together and we need to join what God has started with our Protestant brothers and sisters and pray for a grace, a miracle of unity to happen, that Jesus truly does want to heal his church. And I believe that, like, he's calling us Catholics to come stand by him. And guys, I don't know what it's going to look like. I really don't. A glory cloud could appear. It could. Gold dust could fall. I don't know. But all I know is that, like, that there's, when we pray, God moves.
Yep.
When we come into agreement, things start to happen. Yeah. It's beyond my wildest dreams that I could have ever been called by you, Jack, to come together and be talking about this. But I believe that if we do this, if we come together, then God is going to be doing even crazier things in the years to come. What if we were the generation that ended 500 years of brokenness? Do you know that the Reformation started in 1517 with Martin Luther? Do you know what the year is this year?
Uh-oh.
2017. 500th anniversary of the
division.
Reformation.
500th anniversary of division.
What is God doing? I mean, God is we have a God of numbers.
Mm-hmm.
He loves numbers, you know?
Yep.
I believe that God is doing, I'm just going to prophetically decree this, God is doing a new reformation. Mm-hmm. It's not a reformation of division. It's a reformation, a reforming, a reunifying of the body
Amen.
Of Christ. And it starts
Amen.
With prayer. It starts with mutual accord. And it's doing what the Catholic Church is telling us to do. Gather together and worship.
And I mean, the Lord has given us a shepherd right now in Pope Francis, and he is saying this over and over again. We can't deny what Paul the 23rd said before Vatican II.
John the 23rd, yeah.
What I said, oh, Paul, I'm sorry, John the 23rd, it happened. What JP II said, the new evangelization, it happened, right? When our Holy Fathers speak, because they are the vicar of Christ here on earth, what they say to the people of God, and when we respond to that, it happens. There's been a new evangelization. There's been a new Pentecost. And now Francis is calling for a new unity, a new Christian unity. And it's going to happen, right? Because the vicar of Christ here on earth is calling for it, not in a, hey, guys, I want you to do this, in a way of he's saying, Spirit of God, bring unity.
He's showing us what God is doing.
He's
declaring it. Are we going to step into it?
Amen.
Catholics, Protestants, I don't care who's listening to my voice right now. Do you want to do what God is already blessing?
I want to pull out some really cool things that Jack has shared. So, Jack, number one, you when Patrick was telling that story, you said that you were hearing the Lord say to you, "I want you to pray over Joshua," and you were nervous and timid, but you took action, right? Mm-hmm. And listeners, if we hear the Lord saying something, we've got to stop allowing that timidity to block us, right? That maybe Joshua, it was the Lord's will that Joshua be healed, right? Because he was healed. But maybe that wasn't it. Maybe it wouldn't have happened if you didn't take action.
Maybe. Yeah. And by the way, if you're a skeptic out there, guess what? I just talked to Joshua yesterday and he did 250 pounds of squats that would have been impossible. He has a completely
new knee. Oh, yeah, me too. I did that yesterday too.
Knee. Okay. All right.
Hey, pray
the medical tests are there. All right. Miracles are real. Jesus is still God. All right. We're going to keep going.
Another great thing, Jack. What else do you do with your life? You're married. Do you have a job? Like, what's your job?
Yeah, so I'm in the marketplace.
You're not a full-time minister?
I do full-time ministry in the workplace.
Yes,
amen.
But you have a normal secular job, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
So I think, what challenge would you give to our listeners who have normal jobs, they have families, they have young children they're just living the everyday laity life, right? What would you tell them?
I think. The greatest testimony that I can give about what God has done through my life the last couple of years, especially, is what it looks like to just simply be obedient and to seek and to trust that He is leading the steps. And I think that, you know, I think that it's obvious. He says that all of the parts of the body have an important role, right? We all have this critical role. And I think he's just waiting for us to say yes. I mean, it's, you know, it's like, and it's, and I know in my life, and this is one of the things, like, I don't want to come across at all as somebody who's like constantly in this, you know, this great like connection, understanding about how God's leading me and what he's telling me to do. I'm still learning.
I'm
just holding on, and he's just giving me as much as I can bear, right?
Yeah.
But the important thing, and it goes back, honestly, to that Psalm 139 prayer. It's the search me, Lord. It's a prayer of surrender, and it's a prayer of saying, Lord, like I want you to lead me. I want you to be guiding my steps. In Proverbs, right, it says that in his heart a man will plan his course, but God guides his steps. I want that, and I want to be obedient.
I think a lot of times we actually, instead of following Jesus, we have Jesus follow us, right? We live our life, and we're like, hey, Jesus, I want you to follow me in my life, right? But like we should be following him, hanging on like, man, where's this guy leading me? And just following him.
Hurry up, Lord. Yeah. You're moving slow.
But listeners, if you don't work full-time in ministry, that's okay. You can still accomplish an incredible work for the kingdom of God, just like Jack is doing.
Okay, so this is the invitation. If you want to be a part of this, you're going to come March 10th to the Ohio Expo Center in the Celeste facility. It's the doors open at 6 o'clock, and the worship and the service begins at 7 o'clock. And there's $5 parking. And to learn more, you can even volunteer for this. Go to www.onenightcolumbus.com. www.onenightcolumbus.com. You can spread the word. You can get it out there. We need Catholics, Protestants, any people of goodwill that want to watch the Lord manifest in glory is going to be happening. So we're going to pray right now. And I'm going to pray, Holy Spirit, that you convict everyone that has a heart for the unity of the body of Christ, everyone that shares in Jesus' desire that we would all be one. Come, Holy Spirit, do what you do. Convict hearts of the truth. Convict us of where we need to repent of any pride, of anything that we've done to be divisive, anything that we've done to be condemning. Lord, we ask you to move in power and love. And then, Lord, I pray that boldness would come forth in the mighty name of Jesus. Yes. And we thank you, Father.
Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that any division, a divisive spirit inside of ourselves would be healed. So in the name of Jesus, if you have pride, I cast that out.
Yes.
If you have arrogance, in the name of Jesus, we cast that arrogance out. Lord, we pray for a humble spirit. We pray that we would have a spirit like you, a spirit that is meek and humble of heart. And Lord, I pray that you would allow us to approach our Protestant brothers and sisters with humility and gentleness and a spirit of truth and charity. Come, Holy Spirit.
And Father, we thank you that the hand cannot say to the eye, I have no need of you. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Mm. So, Lord, I pray that you would just give us that spirit that says, I need you because you are part of the body.
We need you. Amen.
And so, Lord, we give it all to you in the name of Jesus.
In the name of
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen. Jack, thank you so much for being on Encounter Radio. Thank you for joining us on Encounter Radio. On behalf of Dan and I, we invite you to walk in the encounter that God has for you today. To learn more about us or our show, go to www.encounterradio.org. That's www.encounterradio.org. Thanks so much, and God bless.